Good morning. My name is Mingwei Yuan. I'm currently a postdoc from the Department of Crop Sciences, University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And since the previous speakers have talked about the nitrogen management practices and their effects on nitrous oxide emissions, so subsequently I will talk about two important agriculture management practices, the tillage and residue management strategies and their effects on soil N2 emissions in Illinois. So as we all know, soil temperature, moisture, and organic matter are three major driving factors that would influence N2O emissions. And among all agricultural practices that aim to mitigate N2O emissions, the tillage as well as the residue management practice are among the most effective and widely used practices to control the three major driving factors. However, studies have found that the responses of N2O emissions to these two practices have been highly variable. For example, for tillage, no-till, on the one hand, can result in improved soil structure and cooler soil temperature, which ultimately will reduce N2O emissions. And this mechanism is often found to occur in the longer term, specifically more than 10 years, based on a meta-analysis study. However, on the other hand, no-till compared to the conventional tillage can also increase carbon and nitrogen inputs on the soil surface and also resulted in greater soil water field pore spaces and less aeration due to a greater soil bulk density. So this process collectively will stimulate denitrifications and tend to increase N2O emissions. And this response is found to be often happen in the shorter term. And similar to the tillage practice, the response of N2 emissions to different residue management practices have also found to be quite variable. For example, for residue removal practice, which is often targeted to supply feedstock for the second generation biofuels and the livestock uses in the corn production systems. And based on the IPCC emission factors, it is estimated that 1% of the crop residue will be converted to N2O emissions, which indicates that residue removal will consistently decrease the N2O emissions, mainly due to the reduced carbon and nitrogen inputs. But on the other hand, residue removal compared to the residue retained on the soil surface practice will also result in warmer soil temperature or some changes in the soil moisture and aeration conditions. So this will alternatively tend to increase N2O emissions. However, in Illinois, the interactions between the two practices as well as the combined effects of them on the soil N2O emissions are still remain unknown. And since in our study site, it's a long-term history trial, so we hypothesize that no-till will tend to reduce N2O emission compared to the conventional tillage practice, and the residue removal practice will tend to decrease N2O emission compared to the residue retained on the soil surface practice. So specific objectives of our project include, first, we want to quantify the effects of tillage and residue management practice on cumulative N2O emissions and corn yield in Illinois. And secondly, we want to assess environmental factors as well as soil nitrogen availability effects on soil N2O emissions. And finally, we want to evaluate the N2O emission as a function of crop yield, which is also known as the yield scale cumulative N2O emissions. So our study is conducted at the University of Illinois South Farm. It's a three-year study built upon a 10-year trial history in a continuous corn system. The study is arranged as a split plot design with four treatments, each replicated four times. The four treatments combine two tillage practices. One is the conventional tillage indicated by CONV, the other is no-till. We also have two residue management practices. One is the residue retained on the soil surface, indicated by R+, and the other is residue removal practice, indicated by RR minus. So for the N2O measurements, we use the vented closed chamber method. So during the peak emission period from May to July, we get sample twice a week. And then later on in August and September, we get once a week. So the gas samples were sampled every on a 10-minute interval into a 30-minute, and then the gas sample was finally analyzed in the lab using a gas chromatography method. So for the soil nitrogen availability measurements, we take the soil sample on the top 20 centimeters of the soil surface, and in May to July, we sampled once a week, and later on, every other week. We take soil samples from the five cores from the across interrow and then composite them into one sample. And then the ammonia and nitrate concentration was measured in the lab using the colorimetric method. So first, since environmental factors are important controlling N2O emissions, so we will start looking at the monthly rainfall and mean temperature in June, July, and August in the 3 years and compare them to the 20-year average. And we can see for the rainfall, June in 2015 and 2016 are much wetter than the 20-year average. However, the all 3 months in 2017 are much drier than the 20-year average. And then by coupling the daily rainfall data with the daily N2O flux data, we can see during the early period of the growing season, the high daily rainfall events often coincide with high N2O daily N2O emission fluxes. And then for the daily N2O flux, it tend to increase from the late May to early June, and the peak period of daily fluxes occur around the mid-June to the late June, and then tend to decrease. Similar patterns also found in 2016 and 17, and in both 2016 and 17, the highest peak values of daily N2O fluxes were found with the residue removal combined with the conventional tillage treatment, indicated by the gray lines. And then besides the environmental factors, we also want to evaluate the relationship between soil nitrogen availability and N2O emissions. So we plotted the total soil inorganic nitrogen from the top 20 centimeters, which is the total soil nitrate and ammonia concentration. So we can see, similar to the N2O emission fluxes, the total soil organic matter nitrogen concentration tend to increase from late May, and the peak period often also occur around mid-June to late June, and then tend to decrease late in the growing season. Then we calculated the Pearson correlation coefficients between N2O emissions and soil nitrate, ammonia, and total inorganic nitrogen concentrations, and we found that greater correlations were found between soil nitrate concentration and N2O emissions in both years, with value of 0.45 and 0.6 in the left panel, which indicates that the soil nitrogen concentration may be one of the important controller factors for the N2O emissions. And for the cumulative N2O emissions during the growing season, we found that the response was inconsistent across the 3 years, but in 2016 and 17, the pattern was quite similar, both with highest cumulative N2O emissions from the residue removal combined with conventional tillage practice, indicated by the gray bars, and then followed by the other conventional tillage practice treatment, the green bars, and between the two no-till treatments, the red and yellow bars, they generated the lowest cumulative N2O emissions, and no statistical difference were found between them. Then we averaged the cumulative N2O emissions across the 3 years by setting the year as a random factor, and we still see that the residue removal combined the conventional tillage treatment produce the highest N2O emissions, while no statistical difference was found among the other three treatments. For the grain yield, so far we only have the data from 2015 to 16. So we also averaged the grain yield across the 2 years, and we found that the two conventional treatments resulted in the highest grain yield. Then the residue removal plus NO2 treatment has an intermediate value of grain yield, and then the residue retained on surface plus NO2 treatment has the lowest grain yield. For the yield scale cumulative N2O emissions, similar result, similar trend to the it's a similar trend to the cumulative N2O emissions. Still, we only found that our residue removal plus conventional tillage treatment has the highest yield scale cumulative N2O emissions across the 2 years. So for the preliminary findings, we found that across all 3 years, the residue removal combined with conventional tillage produced the highest cumulative N2O emissions, as well as the yield scale cumulative N2O emissions. And the important take-home message is, different from our hypothesis, actually we found residue removal practice did not decrease N2O emissions. And furthermore, for the grain yield, we found that conventional tillage produced the highest yield, and no-till and residue retained practice tend to decrease yield. And of course, we need to incorporate 2017-year data to further substantiate this trend. So we would like to thank our funding sources, the Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Councils, and all my lab mates for helping collecting samples and analyzing data. Thank you. Any questions?
For the practice of residue removal, I think we did that by mechanically, by kind of machine.
Only collected soil of N2O emissions during the growing season after planting.
How do you define conventional
tillage? It's chisel till.
For one more question.
Did I see high organic matter content in the?
No, higher inorganic content.
In what treatment? I think like in this part in 2017, we do see in the residue removal practice the yellow and gray lines. There's high inorganic nitrogen concentration in these two treatments.